Happy New Year, everyone. Somebody just asked me yesterday, can you exercise a year? I don't think so, but if I could, I would. But so we passed through this very, very challenging, difficult year. Some would even say a demonic year. And in that sense, this was a year in which evil seemed to rise up. And a lot of times in a shocking way. And because of that, I've been using the expression, we ended up like a deer in headlights. In other words, we were frozen. And I think our bishops were frozen. I think even, you know, police departments were frozen. Everybody was frozen because this evil just rose so fast and was so aggressive. And I've been using the word arrogant too, because it felt it was its time to just go and take control, take power. And so we passed through that year. So we have had a year of the rise of evil. We were frozen because it was so shocking. That's why I think 2021 is the year of battles. I think it's time for us to, okay, frozen and, you know, and stunned is over. Okay, we see this for what it is, and it's time to go to battle. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Solemnity of the Mother of God. Interestingly enough, this is also a First Friday. Here we are in the Feast of the year of St. Joseph. So here's what happened. If you all recall, way back when this virus, this Wuhan devil, as Father Z likes to call it, started to rear its ugly head, we called for a 54-day rosary novena at that time. And that was way back. We prepared for it and then started on March 9th. And that day actually ended up being when the stock market crashed. And then we were planning on finishing it on May 1st. Why? Because that's the feast day of St. Joseph the Worker. And Father Calloway had been promoting St. Joseph with his new book and all that, the consecration. So we thought that was perfect. As we went through the 54 days, we realized that landed on a First Friday. Then 2 weeks, I think it was, before May 1st arrived, we're at day whatever that was, day 40 of the 54-day, the USCCB announces out of the clear blue that along with Canada, they're consecrating the United States to Mary, Mother of the Church, on May 1st. So there you had it, Joseph the Worker, First Friday, Sacred Heart, and now Mary, a consecration of the entire nation to Mary, Mother of the Church on that same day. That was also the day that I made a commitment personally to go and pray the rosary around the state capitol. That grew into many people joining me. There was a family or two that were very dedicated to that. Anyway, that grew into the Eucharistic processions that we had. So here we are. And, you know, with the election and everything going on, we thought, let's do one more 54-day rosary. So that would have been, this is our third one this year. We had the one I just talked about, ended May 1st. We had our one that we have every year that ends on August 15th, Feast of the Assumption, and now this one that ends on the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. And then we find out it's the First Friday. I didn't realize that. It's another First Friday. So remember the story here. The shepherds came and let the Holy Family know what they heard from an angel. You know what that's called? That's called a confirmation. They were being confirmed. See, God does this. First of all, He wants us to act. We've got to move out. We've got to go all in. All those expressions that we've been using, that actually a lot of them are military terms, because we are the church militant, and this is a devil and his minions. It's war. But we have to listen. We have to be tuned in. We have to be locked in to the voice of God to get our marching orders, right? And so along the way then, we're pretty sure this is what God wants us to do, but then what he does is he confirms these things. I take this three hearts confirmation, May 1st, now January 1st, that's called a confirmation. Some call these God incidences, right? Coincidences that God confirms with these things. So here we are. We're heading into a year, and I'm not despairing at all. But what do we talk about when we talk about New Year's Eve or New Year's Day? Resolutions. Okay? We make resolutions. We want to ramp up our game in whatever area God is calling us to do that. And of course, first and foremost has to be our spiritual lives. And so, I want to tell you this story too. I think I might have told you this. I'm sorry if I repeated it. But I'm driving home from South Dakota. I was just telling someone for a mass. And it dawned on me, this might be one of those confirmations. I don't know what it's confirming. But my first dog was Angel, my second dog was Lady, and this one is Gracie. I get home, that Sunday's reading, the angel Gabriel appeared to Our Lady and said, "Hail full of grace." Right? So those are just kind of things that I think God does, and some of them can be funny and cute like that too. But here we are going into this year, and we're called to have that resolve. I always like to, I've been using lately, look what happened when they bombed Pearl Harbor. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of young people ran to enlist because they saw this tyrant trying to take over. And all of these young people said, "Not on my watch. Not on my watch. It is not this day. This day we fight." And so they did. And that's where I think a lot of people, including me, and I think you too, are at right now. We went through this demonic evil, eruption of evil in 2020. Like I said, stunned at first, shocked, seemingly paralyzed, okay, and even a little afraid. Because part of what that evil was warning us, if you do anything, this, that, and the other thing will happen to you. But I just had that sense. My own heart, I believe in yours, and I believe in a big way in the nation, that we've got that pounding heart that those young people had after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Where do I enlist? How dare evil try to take over this country, those young people said after Pearl Harbor. How dare you? Not on my watch. And that's what we're seeing right now. I was led by God, I believe, to something I've read many times before, and I think shared as well. But in 1969, then Father Joseph Ratzinger, or professor, one of the leading theologians in the whole world, was asked to be a part of the Vatican Council as a father. Of course, later Cardinal Ratzinger, and then later Pope Benedict XVI. But one of the leading theologians in the whole world was asked to be on a radio program. And he was asked the question, what do you predict for the future of the church? So it's considered a prediction, but some people call it a prophecy. So I want to share with you some of, first of all, I want to say, I believe Pope Benedict is one of the greatest popes we've ever had. We asked one of the leading theologians in the whole world, up until and including his papacy. But he had a way to unlock realities. And he had a way of enlightening all of us to these realities. And I think this was another occasion. And I think you'll agree. This is some of what I want to share from that. Father Ratzinger, future Pope Benedict XVI, said this. The future of the church can and will issue from those whose roots are deep and who live from the pure fullness of the faith. It will not issue from those who accommodate themselves merely to the passing moment, or those who merely criticize others and assume they themselves are infallible measuring rods. The process will be all the more arduous for sectarian narrow-mindedness, as well as pompous self-will, will have to be shed. On the contrary, here is what this remnant will actually look like. The future of the church, once again as always, will be reshaped by saints, by men, that is, whose minds probe deeper than the slogans of the day, who see more than others see, because their lives embrace a wider reality. Can I just pause there? Do you remember telling me how blessed I felt to be a part, to be in community with you, because you get it? You're tuned in. Okay, so many people don't get it. They don't have the faith to see the deeper realities, the wider realities, the deeper truths. You do. I think each of us are digging deeper and deeper every day and understanding what's really going on. I continue. Unselfishness, which makes men free, is attained only through the patience of small daily acts of self-denial. In faith and prayer, the church will again recognize the sacraments as the worship of God, and not as just a subject of liturgical scholarship. The church will be a more spiritual church, not presuming upon a political mandate. It will be hard going for the church, for the process of crystallization and clarification will cost her much valuable energy. It will make her poor and cause her to become the church of the meek. Pause there. We've talked about meek. Easily led. Okay? I always talk about my past dog, Lady. What a cuddler she was. But I'd tell her to sit and she'd look at me, "You're not the boss of me." Which I thought was cute. But we want to be easily led. See, that's what this gospel passage was about today. Okay, every bark of the command of God, Mary and Joseph followed. And then God would confirm that along the way. But with little advance warning or advance knowledge, they would receive, okay, now do this, and they do it. Okay, now do this, and they do it. That's what meekness is, okay? That's what meekness is. You're easily led, not by tyrants, but by Almighty God. I continue. But when the trial of this sifting is passed, a great power will flow from a more spiritualized and simplified church. Men in a totally planned world will find themselves unspeakably lonely if they have completely lost sight of God. They will feel the whole horror of their poverty. Then they will discover the little flock of believers as something wholly new. They will discover it as a hope that is meant for them, an answer for which they have always been searching in secret. And so, it seems certain to me that the church is facing very hard times. The real crisis has scarcely begun. We will have to count on terrific upheavals. But I am equally certain about what will remain at the end. Not the church of the political cult, which is dead already, but the church of faith. It may well no longer be the dominant social power to the extent that she was until recently, but it will enjoy a fresh blossoming and be seen as man's home, where he will find life and hope. I actually already see that. And I've seen a lot of people who in their despair and emptiness are encountering you. And they have an epiphany, right? That aha moment. This is where I need to be. You are who I need to be in company with. He is who I need to fall on my knees before. You make my life complete. I have purpose now. I can be easily led now. God, I can hear God more clearly now, confirming the direction He's taking me. Was tough. 2021 might be tougher in the sense that we have to go to war. Not necessarily talking about guns and bombs. I'm talking about primarily supernatural warfare. But we can't go unless we're filled with the power of God. I'll close with this. God set on my heart to be a part of a new movement in the church, or a renewed movement in the church. Remember I said 800 years ago, the last time that Christmas star appeared, that was the first time that Eucharistic adoration appeared in parishes. It moved out of the monasteries and into the parish. It literally went viral that year. If God is going to give us a star in this year from hell, on the day, the winter solstice, the darkest day of the year, how can we not see that as God shouting at us? It's always darkest before the dawn. The light will pour back in. And so, the last time this star appeared, there was a viral movement across the planet for Eucharistic adoration. We need to restore that again. Because see, what happens is, with our sins, and I've talked with exorcists about this, we open up a portal. And the demons are just welcomed in, into our lives and into our immediate environment too, our homes. Okay? And I speak to guys especially, get off the porn, off your phone, because you're not only bringing demons into your life, talk to any exorcist. You're bringing it into your family's life. You're giving access to evil. What does Eucharistic adoration do? I think it plugs up that demonic hole and instead opens up the portal to grace. Hail Mary, full of grace. The mediatrix of all graces. We kneel before your Son. We dedicate our lives to you. Boom! The heavens open. And grace comes in, yes, to ourselves, but to our environment. What is the spiritual treatment needed for our times? To push out the demonic and to invite grace into our nation. I truly believe by the multiplication of souls on their knees before God in adoration, our land will be healed once again. In
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I believe in one God.